Welcome to the Perfume Podcast. Creativity, scents, inspirations. She speaks six languages and she works as a translator based in Iceland, an ancestral place. Today is with us Elena Teuther.
Hi, I'm so glad to be with you.
Hello. And so, Elena, you were born in Germany. How did you choose to live in Iceland? How is the feeling of living on an island?
Oh, these are two huge questions. I think I really didn't choose Iceland. I think Iceland chose me. It was not really a coincidence. I began learning languages, of course, in school. We were introduced to English first, and then I needed to take Latin and suck big time. And we went a lot to Sweden when I was 13, 14 years old in winter holidays or summer as well. And I taught myself Swedish and went to a Swedish course. Then I bought Astrid Lindgren books in original, of course.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Because, you know, I always thought I want the real stuff. I want right to dive in some real text literature I'm just drawn to. And I read Ronja the Robber's Daughter, which is really not the easiest book. I have to admit, like in the hindsight, it was quite a chunky bit. But I sat there with my tiny little dictionary each evening. It took a few hours to get through one page. But then I had this feeling, this experience that people in fact understood me in Sweden. Mm-hmm. I could go to the swimming pool and to the supermarket and talking to neighbors. And I thought, wow, they understand me. So what I learned is really useful to connect us. And I've always been interested in persons, in personal relationships. And then we were once in, during the winter time, neighbors invited us for a Christmas, typical Swedish Christmas buffet. And these old, they were so cute, an old couple, I think they were 70 something. And they never learned any foreign language at school. My father neither, not really. No one of them spoke Swedish except I. So I sat the whole evening interpreting for the old couple, my family and me. So I was constantly, like, for 3 hours checking my dictionary, trying to figure out who wants to say what.
Wow.
And I went home after this night. I thought, wow, this was so much fun.
Wow.
And then I thought, Swedish is nice, but then I discovered at the university in Cologne, they offer Icelandic. I thought, this is even more remote. I need to check that out. So I sneak myself into the lectures. I wasn't even done with high school then, but I wanted to have a look and get the feeling of the language. And this professor, also really old and not even longer an ordinary professor, but already retired, he was just having his fun with the beginner of Icelandic. He was so kind. And, oh, yeah, you're interested in Icelandic. Yeah, come on. And it's lovely to have some more people. Yeah, so then I learned Icelandic. And that was in the times before internet. And I thought I'd really love to go there to hear and to immerse myself into this language. So I sat down again with my tiny, tiny dictionary, wrote evenings, a letter of a few sentences introducing myself and telling people I would really love to be on a farm and work there for my summer holidays and get some pocket money and to learn Icelandic. So I got a few answers. And finally, yeah, I went to Iceland for 6 weeks, just the year before I finished high school. And I came back really full of all these experiences. The views, it was a farm at the waterside, at the sea. So they taught me how to drive a tractor. And I had to go round and round and round on the grassy side just to mow the grass for haymaking. And I was sitting there driving, looking over the fields, turn left, see the mountains, turn left, drive to the seaside. Turn left, go along the side, and that for hours.
My goodness.
Let me go and drive and drive. And I really just, it was such a great day. It was sunny, and the grass was so green. The sky was blue, like blue. You know that from Italy, when you go to the Adria and you have this really deep blue sky. Yeah. And it was so, I thought it was something really breathtaking. I could have sat there endlessly watching this nature, this sea. I've always been drawn to the sea, to the ocean. So wherever I go to on holidays, I need the sea. Something is, And I thought, well, where I come from in Germany, we don't have sea, the ocean, and we don't have the mountains as well. So the question each holiday was, are we going to the mountains or to the ocean? And so I thought, well, I don't need to choose here. It's both. And it's something, I guess I had a really, really lovely host family I found. And they taught me so much about different lifestyle, how they treated their children was very different what I knew from home.
It's very interesting what you're saying, and also I can really feel your passion. And so how did you feel there? I mean, it's clear that you felt very well, and at the same time that the experience was very different from what you have lived before.
That you have your tasks to do, and it's not just because you are there you do this, but you belong. They made me feel belonging to the family. I wasn't just this helping out girl no one cares about. They just took me with them, and the countryside in Iceland is really remote. You don't have that in Italy. It's far too crowded. You know, the next neighbor is like 3-5 kilometers away, and you can see the other houses because it's also flat, and you have a view so far because the air is so clear. And you think, oh, that's not that far away. But then you go and you think, wow, this is far than I thought. And because of this remoteness, I guess the people are celebrating community. Whenever there is a possibility to meet, the whole area comes together. And if there's a, they took me with them to a wedding, And then I was asked, yeah, well, you sing. And they knew I was active, an active church member. And they told me, ah, yeah, go and sing with the choir and you can do this. And okay. Mm-hmm. And then there was, I remember this so clearly. I was introduced as the helping girl from this family on this farm. And yeah. People just, oh yeah, okay, here, take my baby, babysit. And it was so normal to belong. So if there is something going on, as I said, yeah, at this wedding, or there's some kind of celebration in kind of social meeting, community house, or how you would call that, everyone really likes coming together and meeting, because otherwise you're stuck on your farm. If you have farmers around, everyone knows what is to do. You have the cows and you have your sheep and you need to bring in the hay. And this is a completely different thing here in Iceland, because you don't know when the weather is good. And when the weather is good, you really need to go out and bring in the hay, because otherwise it takes a few weeks. And this this feeling of, yeah, to have a purpose, being able to dive into this community, being a part of this family, just gave me a really many new impressions of life and how it can be in a completely different surrounding. I'm from Cologne in Germany, which is a city with 1 million inhabitants. And there are no cows and tractors in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
So this was really a huge step out of everything I knew, comfort zone and culture shock and everything included. And after the first, though I have been learning a bit, of Icelandic then in this university course, spoken Icelandic is something completely different than in the books. And people, the other students, they just sat there wrapping their tongue like, how can you speak this language, in fact? And I'm a very auditive person, so I think it's good to read the words, but I need to hear to be able to form them, to use them, to learn the structures of the languages. Give me a grammar book and I would say, okay, but the real thing happens when I'm at the place. I learned French in school. I haven't used it for 25 years, but I know it's still somewhere behind the ear. And if I would go to France, it would take like 3-4 days and I would be fluent again. But this hearing and immersing in a culture, in a language, made me feel like I belonged there. They gave me the feeling that I was welcome. And it was extremely valuable exactly at that time, from my personal point of view. This is something I really enjoy. So that's the language thing. Yeah, this is something to bring people together. That's something I have in my claim as well on my site, that I want to build bridges to other people, to connecting people with language, with translation, with interpretation.
Mm-hmm. This is very interesting. Also, I love the idea of building bridges, as you said, and languages are really a great tool for that.
And so much understanding, you know, even if I'm in Croatia talking this, reading up this 2-3 sentences, everyone is laughing. I know myself, this probably was completely out of, a mess. But you, this even laughing at the mistakes together is directly giving a connection that the people receive you as friendly and that you are there to learn from them. And sometimes I have been asking them, so how exactly do you speak this or say this, and how is the pronunciation? And they are so glad. You get a completely different reception when you at least try. And I really would, that's something I would tell your listeners. Just go to a different country, try to learn 2-3 sentences, even if it's only good morning and bye or something in between, that, and you will make everyone happy. And this is something I think is really important.
I have had the experience of just really speaking a few words but seeing a smile on other people's faces, and then you think it's worth it. I mean, yes, I can't speak 100 languages, but I can of course speak a few words of tens of them. And so yes, I love that. I think we should practice in this way. Absolutely.
I guess so, because it opens so many doors. You just smile and say hello, how are you, or whatever phrase is appropriate in this culture or country, and people will be really more willing to serve you than in English or another third language than if you just go there and, well, here I am and I expect you to talk my language. It's a different approach. Yeah, but now we are going away from your island theme.
No, don't worry. I think you talked about bridges, and this is very interesting. I think that islands and languages maybe are teaching this to us.
Perhaps as well a point, because on an island, you are on an island, you are in your community, and you always need to make an effort to get away. When we were talking about like an ancient place, Iceland was settled around 875 from all kinds of settlers. We know today it was not only the Vikings coming over, but also people from Ireland and Scotland and this little islands in between, Shetlands and Orkneys, and everything mixed a bit up. But it has always been here a long tradition, I think really through the ages, that you need to leave the country and gain experience abroad to come back and teach it to others. So the Icelanders have been in this position for quite a long time, especially under Danish rule. There was no real educational system here until I don't know when. And everyone who wanted to study, even if it was, law or theology, which was the both like in the 17th, 18th century, they needed to go to Copenhagen. And there was the university. So you had to leave to study elsewhere and bring knowledge back to the island. And this has been quite a long time, even in the 20th century, when the University of Iceland was built in the beginning of the 20th century. But of course, they didn't have all the disciplines they have now. And for a very long time, even people who wanted to learn psychologists needed to go to a different country. There are many psychologists in their 60s, 70s now who needed to go to Germany, Denmark, Sweden. Specialty doctors are going to the US, also Denmark, Norway. You can't study veterinarian medicine in Iceland. So those who want to need to leave. And the question now is often, how do we get this well-educated people back?
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, I was wondering that, of course, I'm not living on an island at the moment, but I have this island feeling, meaning that I also miss traveling, because it's really about moving our minds while we move our bodies. So it's really essential for, I think it is an essential aspect of our lives.
This is a really, really interesting sentence, what you said, that while moving our bodies to a different place, we are moving our minds. And this is so beautifully said. yes, because this is exactly that. When we got on a plane, from my point of view, I'm traveling two time zones to, let's say, Berlin time. And I'm stepping out in a different world, and I need to adjust. I need to adjust the language. I need to find, how's the atmosphere? How do I behave at this new place? This is something, this is traveling your mind. This is really great.
but it's really, it's a feeling like this, and also I think that, for example, as you said, learning languages could be a help at the moment, like preparing on in any way, meeting another culture while at the moment we're not moving so much. But it's really languages for me are like this. So traveling. And also languages and also artistic endeavors make me this kind of feelings and this environment of exchange.
It's so strange somehow. I went the last time to visit my sister in Germany, just right before the borders in Iceland were closed. It was February 2019. It was my last flight to Germany back.
The last flight.
And I visited my sister for 10 days and her kids and family. And I took my children with us, and it was the first time they all met. We had such a time. It was so brilliant. And I always need like a day or so to adjust again to the German way of life. And I always feel so stressed. Because I feel the it's the pace is much faster. You need to catch your train, you catch your bus, and you're always the school begins at 8 for the children there. I always begin 8:30, and they just walk over. not really a way you need to plan for. And there's always a kind of, I feel kind of pressure in Germany. It's not that much in Denmark, but Iceland is extremely relaxed. They are not really good planners. So the buses are, we have a bus system in Reykjavik. And they are coming too early or too late. And so okay. This common a societal feeling of we're making the best out of what we can. What happens, happens, and we go with the flow. And we need something last minute. Yeah, somehow we're going to manage. This is so sometimes I think, please, a tiny bit more organizing. But somehow we'll manage and everything works out because everyone is so relaxed. No one is really expecting everything is gone. They are very forgiving if something is not really happening the way it should be. Oh yeah, okay, we'll manage. So this would never happen in Germany, you know. Everyone is like, so we are supposed to leave at 8 o'clock, you know, and the bus is not punctually here. Well, but it's really, I think this is a common trait I feel here, whether it's in town or in the countryside. We have our task list, especially let's say this haymaking thing. Okay, weather is good, everyone out in the field. it's raining. Yeah. Okay, well, let's do this and that and that, something else. But you like go perhaps with the good weather. That of course has been a long time a very rural country, very much I would say until or after the Second World War, there was mainly life in the countryside. Well, after the World War, the Americans built their base here, the NATO base, which had been closed a few years back. And they brought the money to build streets and buy cars and get kind of town life. So there was a huge technical revolution after the Second World War. And I grew up in the 70s in Cologne in Germany. And of course, we had a tram, we had a telephone with six numbers, we had our postcode for the part of the city I was living in. So here at the same time, you still had kind of how do you call it, like manually used landlines, and everyone could listen what people were talking about, they didn't have postcodes until 1976. There were no postcodes in Iceland because it was so tiny, you didn't need some. And now it's three digits because it's so small. Which is kind of funny because when I order something online from, let's say, US or wherever from, and they ask for the postcode, and I write my three-digit number, they always say, no, not existent. It's existed. I add some zeros in front and okay, but or the phone numbers. We don't have regional numbers anymore. When they changed then finally the phone number system, mm-hmm. and we only have seven-digit numbers for the whole country. You know? And then you need to add your regional number. Don't have this. False.
Sorry. No, that's really interesting and funny in some way also.
It is.
Yeah.
And then the uncle of my husband told me he died at 102 years old. And he had a huge farm for this time, like in the 50s, 60s. And he knew the old way of farming with horses and everything by hand. And Then I asked him once, so do you remember when you bought your first tractor? And he directly, 1956. But this was such a revolution to get this machinery and to, into agriculture. This is an island issue perhaps as well, because you need to bring that stuff here. We don't have, there have never been built any cars here in Iceland. They came through Denmark, I guess, through Germany or from the US, and you need to bring them on a ship. And everything is a bit more expensive. And here in Iceland, especially, I think it's like three times. We have a very high VAT, and the prices are three times than those in Germany. So Iceland living or island living might be always the more expensive, on the more expensive side, at least.
I see. Yeah. And also, really, I love to talk with you. I think we have to explore a lot of things, but unfortunately we should wrap up our interview because we are more or less, yes, over our podcast time. But anyway, don't worry. I would like to complete our interview with something about you. Would you like to share any creative project you're going to begin or you're doing?
There's a lot going on in that way. We are having South Icelandic Wool Week next week. And I'm quite into knitting and both writing patterns myself, like designing things. But I don't have a lot of time for that right now because I have heaps to translate left and right of knitting patterns. I've been specializing in those because there is definitely a need for people who both knit and have the technical understanding of how to do when what and can describe it like so other people can use it. And that's what I'm doing right now, is reading over and editing, proofreading other people's designs and patterns. And so this is upcoming, and I'm really excited to see a lot of my designers there in this house. And I will be going to a tiny little place at the South Coast where I have the opportunity to rent a little house, really old, wooden, cozy, I think 28 square meter house with one big room. It's lovely. And there is both the place and time to connect to this wool community in Iceland, to get to know new people. And there are many, many women working and spinning or knitting, wool working in whole, which is a really huge thing now. And also, just relax a bit. And there's my favorite point, with a bench where I can sit at the South Coast watching the ocean, and to know there is next stop Antarctica. This is so funny to know. Just imagine there is a point you could board a boat and go over the whole globe. And not huge. meeting a land in between. And this is the place, a bench there, so it can just sit and watch the horizon and hear the ocean. and the waves, and this is my special point here, which I really enjoy. Besides knitting and meeting people.
Yeah. And also, thank you for this beautiful image and landscape. I think that place is surely magical in some way. And thank you for today. And we'll meet soon for a new episode of the Perfume Podcast. Thank you, Elena. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You listen to the Perfume Podcast. If you're interested in creativity coaching, scents, and aromatherapy, please check my website, fiordicamomilla.org.